started. The next speaker was supposed to be Xavier, but he couldn't make it. So Mark is filling in for him, and he's going to give a talk on environment modules.
So hi everybody, I'm Mark, I'm working at CEA, so as Kenneth said, it's a last minute change, so please be lenient with me. Xavier and I are working at CEA, we are a French government institution, research institution, and we are operating HPC systems, and among which Alice Recoq, that would be the second exascale, European exascale system that will be installed in 2 years or so. So today I'll talk about environment modules and we'll discuss why this old idea is still useful today and what's next for the project. So for those who are not familiar with module, module or environment module is a tool that allows you to manage your environment within a shell session or a shell script. The building blocks of module are script files that are called module files, in which you will define your environments. So here is a very simple example of a module file. And then if you need a software or library or something like that, if it's not available in your environment, you can load it with the module load command, and then it will be available in your environment. And you can undo this seamlessly, so you can unload the module and you go back to a clean slate without this software on your environment. So how does it work? There are three main components behind the hood. The first one is module cmd.tcl. So it's a TCL script that will evaluate the module file I showed you earlier, so the first one. It will evaluate it, and it will spill out the environment changes that are described in the module file. So here is an example. We will evaluate the content of a module file for a bash script. We will use the subcommand load, and we'll do it for the module file foo. And you see that we will update path, and we'll define some variables that will be useful internally for module to know what modules are actually loaded. Then there is a second component that is a script function named nodule. It's where the magic happens. And basically here we are just doing an evaluation on what was spilled out by the module TCL or module cmd.tcl. So we are just calling this the first script I showed you, and we will evaluate it, and it will update our environment. So where module is used for? The first usage, the main usage probably, is to access software catalogs on HPC systems. It's very handy when you have different versions of a software, so version 1, 2, 3, and so on, or different versions of the software in terms of a compiling toolchain. So it's on most supercomputers today. It's also interesting because it's a shell agnostic environment. So whatever the shell you're using, being Bash, TCSH, Fish, it will work, and you have a common interface to access those your softwares or libraries. And one thing that is interesting, it's mostly used to handle softwares, but actually it's an environment tool, so you can manage your environment, and since you can interact with your environment, there are lots of libraries or softwares that are configured by environment variables. So you can actually manage your configuration thanks to module, and that's what we do, for example, at CEA with MPI. So module is an old story. It started in 91. It actually predates both Linux and MPI, so it's really old. It went through lots of hands across the 30 plus years of its life cycle. And in 2012, unfortunately, the project was on halt for a few years. And then it was taken over by Xavier. And in 2017, he released Module 4. And since then, it's under active development. So you can find it at GitHub, of course. Module cmd.tcl is about 15,000 lines of codes. It's under GPL2 license. There are two new feature releases per year, and within those features, those releases, you will have five significant new features. So those features are impactful for the users. They are really interesting, adding new things, and there are about 50 minor changes every time. Module development is based on a test-driven development approach. So there is a huge non-regression tests base with more than 22K tests with a 99.5 coverage, which is pretty good. And the test suite is six times the module cmd.tcl. So huge test suites once again. And an important point is that the module project is really listening to the community, to the users, to the sysadmins, and to the nearby communities like SPAC, EasyBuild, LMod. We are really integrated within those communities. Here is a non-complete list of new features in 2017. If you want to have all the details, you can flash code this. And I will just go through two features that might be interesting for you. The first one I want to mention are variants. So the basic idea behind variants is that the module files are scripts, and since they are scripts, you can pass arguments to your scripts. And with those arguments, you can interact with the way you will set up your environment or the toolchain you will use. And so you can do everything in a single module file. So it's much more handy than what we were doing previously, with lots of module files. And we're using the SPAC terminology, so those who are familiar with SPAC variants, it's very similar. We have Boolean variants and valued variants. And here is an example. So imagine that foo is actually HDF5. If we use the MPI variant, that is a Boolean variant, it would mean that we will use the parallel version of HDF5 instead of the sequential one, and we can specify the toolchain, so the way HDF5 is compiled. In terms of module files, the implementation is pretty easy. You define a module, then you can evaluate, and you can change your environment accordingly to the variants you're using. You can use shortcuts, so it can ease, again, the use of variants, and you can have a syntax that is really close to SPAC. We also introduced activity logging. So previously, it was possible to have some logging with hooks, but now it's really out of the box. The interesting thing is that since we can push logs within the log system of the system, then we can rely on a traditional stack like ELK to have statistics on the module usage. And here is a very simple example. So you can define the logger, so which command you will use to log, and you can log different kind of events. So the command you launch, the evaluation, if you have auto-evaluation. And here are examples. We launch a few commands. So you see that we trace the command avail, the command load, and then there is an evaluation for loading the app that we see also here. I have to mention that environment module is not the only module implementation in the wild. There is also LMod. LMod is written in Lua. It was the development started in 2008. It's developed by Rob McClay from TAC. And the main difference between environment module and LMod is that LMod can evaluate TCL and Lua module files. LMod is actually very popular across HPC sites. And there were many features, very interesting features, that were introduced when module was an alt. So at some point, it was really in advance compared to module. Among those features, you have module hierarchy, module cache, and so on. And as of today, it's probably the most used and the most deployed module tool in the HPC world. But I have also to mention that both projects are really collaborating. The idea is that the user experience will be the same wherever you're using LMod or module. One interesting feature I mentioned from LMod is the module hierarchy. So the idea of a module hierarchy is that you can hierarchically organize your module files. So you have a kind of first layer of module files. So in your module pass, you will have just one pass with core modules, and you will see only that. And once you're loading one of those modules, then you will update your module pass with a new module pass that will expose other module files. And if you have a change in your environment, if you change one of those core modules, it will automatically reload the module. So here is an example. Imagine that you loaded Boost. Compiled with GCC, if you change the compiler, it will change automatically GCC. So we are implementing a module hierarchy in a module. It should be available this year. And actually, we implemented it with a twist. So we have an automated handling mechanism. So it's a step forward compared to module hierarchy. We are trying to reuse IDs that comes from sysadmin and system package management, and to be able to deal with requirements and conflicts efficiently. So the idea is for the user to have something that is really consistent. So imagine you load a first version of a module. It will load the requirements. Then if you load another version of this module, it will handle automatically the unloading of the conflicting module, and it will load the right module. So it's much more easy to use, much more seamless for the users. So module is a very well-known interface in the HPC world. It was used for more than 30 years. So it has some use for sure. But since the 90s, lots of tools to install scientific software appeared, among which EasyBuild, SPAC, Geeks. You probably know all those tools. And if we take SPAC or Geeks, for example, they actually do not need a module tool to provide their softwares. So they have built-in functionalities to access the softwares. So is module still useful? We think that yes, module is still useful because it's a common interface, whatever the tool you're using under the hood. It's also interesting for sites that are working in a federation. So that's typically the case for EuroHPC. We have users moving all across European sites. And to have a single interface, it is easier for our users. And it's also useful when you have different tools used simultaneously. And that's what we do at CE, actually. We're using both EasyBuild and SPAC. We build our software stack with those tools, and we access them with module with a common interface. And I already mentioned it, but module is not only a tool to access softwares, but it's an environment management tool. So it means that you can manage the configuration of your softwares. That's what we do with MPI at CEA. And you can also manage data endpoints. So for example, in our clusters, we have users that are different projects. They have different data on the file systems linked to those projects, and we can manage that with module directly. So glimpse in the future, there are two functionalities I want to mention. The first one is the idea is to have an adaptable view of the module that you will see. So right now, if you launch the module avail command, that will list the modules that are available.